بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is the 11th lecture of our series titled Trying to Understand Religion in the Contemporary World. Considering that we are living in times which are changing at a speed which has never been seen during the long history of humans on earth, and the new changes which are coming are so universal in nature that if we are unable to understand who we are and why we are on this earth, how we would be reacting to these changes would be totally based on ignorance. And considering the speed of change has increased, there would be very little chance of us retracing it back where we have found the mistake, because by that time we would be in a very different situation. Considering the importance of this, we started the series, and this is the 11th lecture. From the beginning, where we tried to emphasize that religion is an intrinsic quality of a human being, using anthropologists' evidence and moving forward to the creation of the soul being the first of creation, then the creation of the universe, how it was created in six stages, and then we moved forward trying to understand why the question of knowing why we were created is more important than how. And then finally, at the end of it all, we are now in this lecture planning to discuss how are we placed in the world of today from the point of view of the Quran. How is mankind placed? How does God look at mankind? And does He mention that in the Quran? It's just not mentioning. God has given a small surah where He clearly puts forward the human predicament, the situation we are in, we all are in actually. The surah is Suratul Asr, surah number 103, and it goes like this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Here God is swearing by time. By time, says the surah, the chapter. By time, indeed man is at loss, except those who have faith and do righteous deeds and enjoin one another to follow the truth and enjoin one another to patience. So now all of humanity is being placed in that domain where time by itself is causing a loss to human beings. They are at loss because the nature of time passing on them will only lead them to perdition and destruction. Physically, as is obvious, as time passes, we age and our body weakens, and after a point of time, we have total physical annihilation. We completely cease to exist from the physical point of view. From dust thou art, and to dust thou returneth becomes a reality for all of us. So what is the saving process. Here it is which the surah goes forward and explains. By time, indeed, man is at loss, except those who have faith and do righteous deeds. Amanu wa amilu salihat. So it's like a process. We have been put from this point, and we are slowly going down, down, down. And this is the timeline. So as we keep growing, 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 yes, we keep sinking from the point of view of God. We are getting lesser and lesser time. Our time is running out. So from the point of view of the time line, we are losing time. So we are coming down from the point of view of time. So down, 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 until here, where at the bottom, we are facing physical annihilation. We are going to get destroyed physically. So this is what God says. You are in a state of sedimentation. You are sedimenting. You are just going down. And now there is one exception which will stop you from degenerating into nothing. And that is through the process of the soul. That is within the time of the body, physical body, to which the soul has been granted and given and blown in. Now you have the chance of using that soul to develop it to a higher level, so that when the body finishes off and is destroyed, you have a soul which is robust, strong, capable for the next life, to which it will be granted what a strong, capable soul would be able to be given. And that is what actually paradise means, and what that is what actually Jannat is. Here is the clear-cut picture. He's swearing by time. God is swearing by time. The importance of time is being put forward very clearly, and the chance of loss. And it would be a complete loss, because if it is going to be a physical movement, that physical movement will end. So it has to be a movement apart from the physical timeline. So therefore, the question of Amanu, which is activity of the soul, Amilu Salihat, which is again the activity of the soul, again, enjoining truth and enjoining justice. All these are activities of the soul, which the soul performs with the help of the body during its time on earth. During its time on earth. So here we are very, very obviously told that your time is important and your time is running out. And you have only the process of having faith in God, complete faith, and then doing good. And then at the social level, for the good to grow and expand, you will have to enjoin each other that we have to hold on to truth. We have to hold on to patience, because the path of the soul is in the state of its being tested. And if we don't have patience and the will to move forward on the path of truth and justice, we will not do what we are supposed to do. So therefore, we need to enjoin each other with truth, haq, and sabr, patience. Human life is being given meaning by God. Your life has no meaning unless you do this. Otherwise, you are just spending out of an account given to you, the account of time, which is again not in your control, and you'll be losing everything at the end. So if you don't want to lose everything at the end, this is the recipe which God gives through the surah. And as we move forward and look at other verses of the Quran, the difference between those who follow the path of God as delineated in this verse and those who don't has been clearly mentioned. Qul hal yastavi al-ama wal basir am tastavi az-zulumatu wan nur. What is Quran saying? O Prophet, say, this is chapter 13, Ar-Ra'd, verse 16. O Prophet, say, are the blind one and the seer. Those who see equal, are those who are blind and those who see equal, or are the darkness and light equal? So those who see is here very clearly being mentioned to be those who see with the eye of the soul. Because those who are being told as blind are not actually blind. They are lacking that insight which comes to the soul, and therefore the verse is very clear. Are the blind and the one who see, and those who don't see, are they the same? And is darkness and light equal? There are so many other verses which keep on reminding us there is a big difference between those who take this path, because they will be based on proof, and those who will not take this path. As I mentioned in the ninth lecture, this one path is based on proof. It's based on haq, it's based on patience, perseverance. So that when you have your proof, لَيَهْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَهْيَا عَنْ هَيَّا مَنْ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. So the rule is very simple. So that though he who perishes might perish by a manifest proof, and he who lives may live on by a manifest proof. So the idea of proof comes here. And therefore, the question of Noor, that would be knowledge, and Zulumat, that would be ignorance. Verse number 34 of 41st chapter, Fussilat. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَاتُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِتْفَى بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. What is the verse saying? Good and evil conduct are not equal. Good conduct has a proof. Evil conduct doesn't. What does God say? Good and evil are not equal. Repel evil with what is best. So now that you have to repel evil, logic will tell you that you have to use what is best to repel evil, because the proof will be like that. Because if you repel evil with evil, there will be more evil in the world. But if you repel evil with good, there will be less evil in the world. So the logical conclusion is, the Quran says, good and evil are not equal, repel evil with what is best, and if you do so, behold, he between whom and you was enmity will be as though he were a sympathetic friend. Now that evil has been repelled with the best thing, the best way, and has changed the evil person and the source of evil into a sympathetic friend. But the verse goes on. But none is granted it except those who are patient. Here is the same patience which is there in the Suratul Asr. Nobody can do this. Nobody can travel this road, travel this path, except those who, but none is granted it except those who are patient. وَمَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍّ عَظِيمٍ. These are the two categories, those who are patient, and none is granted it except the greatly endowed. Those who have been endowed greatly by God, and those who have been granted patience, will be able to repel evil with good. So the path of good and evil, amanu and amelus salihat, is becoming clearer and clearer through actions of those who have faith, who have patience, who have the power to face evil with the power given by God of knowledge, of wisdom. This is what Quran wants to explain to us. Further verses. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. The verse goes like this. Say, O Prophet, are those who know and those who do not know equal? Are those who know equal to those who do not know? Only those who possess intellect take admonition. Only those who possess intellect take admonition. So what is being told here is simply that. never can it be that those who have proof with them, those who know and those who do not know, be equal. So, if you have intellect, if you have brains, only then you will be appreciative of this fact. That I would never like to fall in the category of those people who do not know. Because if I fall in the category of those people I do not know, I will fall in the trap of Satan and there would be no rescue for me. Because knowledge is the road to God, and if my road to God is cut and I am unable to move forward because of my ignorance, I would be trapped easily by Satan and I wouldn't be able to use my soul, which has the property of being conscious of God. That means my consciousness of the soul of God would be impaired as a result of my lack of knowledge in my present life, in my life of this world, Hayatul Dunya. So it is that important. Knowledge keeps your soul alive, and that is the only way through which you can be continuously in contact with God, and this continuous contact with God will give you great benefits. Through those benefits, one of them would be patience, the other would be wisdom, and through them you would be able to repel evil and bring out more good in the world than increasing the evil, because some evil was already there. I would like to fight evil with evil and then end up creating more evil, but end of it, there would be no good coming out of it. Anger, lack of patience, greed, jealousy, all these factors are those which have in them the capacity to create evil. And if we can fight the evil with good, as the verses say, and that is again through the process of knowing and knowledge. And knowing requires learning and a continuous effort to in that direction. Further, there are verses which say, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثَ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَسْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. O Prophet, tell them, say, the good and the bad are not equal. The good person and the bad person are not equal, though the abundance of bad may amaze you. Again, the question is, a lot of people might not take the road of knowledge, may not make life based on knowledge a reality for themselves. So, O Prophet, tell them, the good one and the bad one are not equal, though the abundance of bad people may amaze you. So, the very fact that the majority are heedless, have no knowledge, are ignorant, doesn't make a proof in itself that you should become ignorant of the good you can do through learning more and more. There are more verses. I will not go into the detail. I won't read them. Zaraballahu masla rajulain. I just read the translation. Surah 16. An-Nahl, that is chapter 16, verse number 76. Before that, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثَ وَالطَّيِّبُ was Suratul Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 100. And before that, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ was 39th verse, chapter, Zumar, verse 9. And now I am reading from the verse 76, verse of 16th chapter An-Nahl. Allah draws another parable. Two men, one of whom is dumb, having no power over anything, and who is a liability to his master. One is dumb, that is, he has no knowledge, and doesn't control anything, and who is a liability to his master. Wherever the master directs him, he does not bring any good. So, he is a good for nothing fellow. I'm not telling the translation. So, he does not bring any good. Is he equal to someone who enjoins justice and is steady on a straight path? Is he equal to someone who enjoins justice and is steady on a straight path? Two people. One who is benefiting no one, neither himself nor his master. And the other, what is he doing? He is enjoying justice and study on the straight path. This again goes back to Suratul Asr, enjoining truth, enjoining patience was there, enjoining justice is here, because justice is again a form of truth. There can be different ideas about what is right and wrong. Justice is one which chooses the right, best one and says this is the truth, and therefore we call it justice. So justice is a kind of truth manifested in a situation when there is some strife or disagreement between persons or people, groups. So is he equal to someone who enjoins justice and is steady on the straight path? So as we move forward, we get an idea that God is specifically trying to bring us towards himself, and through him wants to move us in the world as the proponents of truth, justice, and as a result of promoting justice, civilizations would be created, peace would prevail, and people would tolerate each other more through the patience which God inculcates in them. And as a result of that, the world would become something similar to heaven. And those who in doing this have achieved even martyrdom would be considered the inheritors of Jannah, of paradise. That is the basis. Those who want to create a paradise on earth where justice and truth prevails, where people love each other, where people say salama, salama, as the Quran says, in paradise, people would address each other through a salam. Peace be upon you, peace be upon you. So that peace is supposed to be brought in this world. So the effort of the godly, God-wary, the muttaqeen would be to create a world of this kind through learning from God. Centrality of God in their lives is their hallmark. God is the central character, the central figure in their life. Nothing else is. All is relative to God. All is relative to God. Whatever relationships we have, from the point of view of religion, Quran, Islam, Hadith, is basically to be understood by giving God the central position. Because he has actually brought us into being. He is totally sustaining us for each and every fraction of a second. And he who would be, who would raise us again. And in his control is our soul, our body. Actually, he is manifesting himself through us. So to develop a propensity of feeling away from him, separate from him, is what he would say, kufr, ungratefulness. And the opposite of it, feeling him within us, as he is within us, would be the hallmark of gratefulness, of iman, and of taqwa and piety. The verse is very clear here. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. God says very clearly, we have certainly created man and we know to what his soul tempts him. Certainly we have created man and we know to what his soul tempts him. And we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. And we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. This verse is very, very clear that God is in us. He says, it's not that I have created you. I'm outside of you. No. I have created you. I know to what your soul tempts you. Being impacted by the body, the desires of the body, your soul starts acting in a particular manner. And we know it. That is, and we are closer to you than your jugular vein. That means through which your life is sustained. We are closer than your life to you. We are closer than your life to you. What more could God say? He is in us, he is saying. There are so many other verses. Yahulo Bainal Mareva Khalve. God intervenes between a person and his heart. He's closest to our heart. When people ask the Prophet about God, the Quran replies, Qul inni qareeb. I am very close. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i zad'an. So why is this? He's in us. He's with us. Huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum. He's with us. Huwa ma'akum. He's with you. Aina ma kuntum. Wherever you are. That is, he's in us. He's with us. And he is for us. Because this whole universe has been created not just for showing that it can be created, but it has been created for us as human beings. To make the soul capable of acting at the lowest level of creation, that is matter at the most degenerative level. We spoke about in the earlier lectures. Matter at its first point, in the state of subatomic levels, or when it was formed into the first atom of hydrogen, was at its pristine glory. Its pristine glory was at that point. After that time, there was slow degeneration, and only through a process of physical degeneration have elements come. And the earth has been created. And this is now a proven fact. So at the fag end, human beings come. So they have come at a point when matter is at its degenerative worst. And through that mud, clay, we were fashioned. And given a soul, which was first of creation, the best of creation. Now, in this scenario, we are using that which is in the worst state and is impacting the soul in the worst manner. Matter in its most degenerative state would impact the soul in a degenerative manner. There's no doubt about it. Matter brought closer and with the soul and being degenerative, the soul acting through the matter, not able to understand why matter was created, getting the influence of matter and feeling that matter has been created for me, for serving my material needs. This is the first thing that will come to you. This will come to any animal also. But the human soul is capable of going beyond the material, because it was before the material, better than the material, capable of managing the material. Therefore it was sent. So there it is that God is now within us, with us, and for us. Whatever his attributes, they are all for us. He is merciful, beneficent, forgiving, loving the penitent and those seeking purity. His sending of prophets, books, laws, guidance is all for us, and as a result of his love for us. So he loves us, and he has sent the prophets for us, he sends the books for us. All his attributes are from our point of view. His Rahman for us, Rahim for us, Tawwab accepting, Tawbah. He is for us in any aspect, in any form which he expresses to us. He is telling us, see, I am with you, I am for you. Now the question is, when do we realize that we are for him? Or even further, that we are his. God says, you have to realize that you are mine. Yes, you are not for me, you are mine actually. And then you are for me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi rajiun means that surely we are God's. We are for God? No. Lillah. We are owned by God. We are God's. And to him we return. That meaning is that. So being for him should be the result of being his. If we are belonging to God, whatever we would be doing, we should be doing for God. So God says that you are mine and therefore you should be for me. There are verses in the Quran where human beings should, in the way that God is in us, we should be in God. We should be in God as well. That famous verse. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And for those who strive in us, we shall surely guide them in our ways. And Allah is indeed with the virtuous. Again, it is very clear that your moving in us, جَاهَدُوا فِينَا in us, is a state of virtue. Because at the end of the verse, it comes, indeed, God is with the virtuous. So when He is with the virtuous, the movement in God will be in the state of virtue. If you are state of virtue, you will be in a state of purity. If you are in a state of purity, you will feel that you are belonging to God. Once you feel that you are belonging to God, you want to be with God. And once you want to be with God, you will move, any movement would be with God, so it will be in God. So if you are in God, that is how in your state of purity and virtuousness, you are in God. Therefore, God will guide you through this world, all His paths. New situation will arise, new paths will be required. Allazina jahadu fina lanahdiyanhum subul is the plural of sabil. He will guide us in His ways. The ways will keep coming on. New challenges will be coming. So in that situation, being in God and being in a state of virtuousness will help us traverse the paths of this world, which God guides us and calls the path His path, because the paths in this world which God has fixed are His paths. The paths we take are our paths, or those paths which Shaitan has or Satan has made for us fair seeming. So those are not the paths of God. They are the paths of the nafs or the arch devil, Satan, and therefore those paths are separate from the paths of God. So God is guiding us to His ways, and therefore we need to be in Him for being guided to His ways. If we are out of Him, then we find the paths of nafs good for us. We find the paths of Shaitan good for us. So these two facts have to be understood. So being with Him, God has so many times asked us to be with the good. Ya ayyuhal ladzina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. O you who have faith, be wary of Allah and be with the truthful. So being with the truthful is being with God. Because in another verse, God says, لَيَزِّي اللَّهُ السَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِ, so that Allah may reward the truthful for their truthfulness. So that Allah may reward the truthful for their truthfulness. So now that God is rewarding the truthful and is asking us to be with the truthful, whose truth is established, that itself is indicative that if we are with the truthful, we are with Allah. So being in Allah, that was Surah Ankabut, chapter 29, Allazina Jahadu Fina, verse 69, and this Surah Tawbah, 9th chapter, verse number 119, that is, Yahyu Allazina Amanu Taqullaha Wa Kunuma Sadiqeen, and then the verse after that, 33rd chapter Ahzab, verse 24, Layazdi Allahu Sadiqeen Abisidqeen, that Allah may reward the truthful for their truthfulness. So now, once we start being in God and with God and for God. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Surah Muzammil, chapter 73, verse number 8. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا, and dedicate yourself totally to Him with total dedication. Dedicate yourself totally to Him with total dedication. What does this imply? It implies clearly that God wants us to be totally dedicated to Him. That is being for Him also. Being in Him, with Him, through following the truthful, and being in a state of dedication to Him. That would be our for Him. So as He is in us, with us, and for us, we would also be with Him, in Him, and for Him. if this reciprocation goes on, then the situation of we being satisfied is with him and he being satisfied with us and approving us comes. That famous verse becomes a reality. Raziyatan marziya. Raziyatan means we are satisfied with him basically because we are in him, we are with him, we are for him, and because he is in us, with us and for us, these two processes come and meet at a point where we are leaving this world, the physical world, and at that point, ya yato naftul mutmainna is being addressed. Come to us, back, come back. Come back. Irja ila rabbika raziyatan marziya. That is what it is. And enter, fadkhul ibadi. Enter among those who are our servants and those who are udkhuli ibadi, udkhuli jannati, and enter my paradise, my jannat. So if we can achieve this in our lives, we'd be able to, but it is only possible if we understand what I mentioned in the beginning. We are in a state of sedimentation, we are losing time, we have very little time, and the majority will never understand this. That is very clear in the Quran. The majority will never understand this. Giving a central position to God in life above everything else will never be the case. It is only through a process of learning, thinking, contemplating, continuously working towards God, what we would say, seeking closeness to God, qurbatan ilallah, would we be able to create a world for ourselves which is totally above the physical world and capable of controlling the physical world. What does God do? He's totally above the physical world. And since he's totally above the physical world, his control over the physical world is complete. His control over the physical world is totally complete. As much as we are able to move away from the physical controls of our body, our physical desires, to that extent would we be able to control the world in the way God wants it to be controlled? We are part of this world. We have physical realities, physical challenges, physical relations. All these need to be worked through and can be only worked through if we are detached. And detached will we be if we are totally dedicated to God, as the verse says, tabattal ilayhi tabtila. That dedication has to come as a natural process to us. It cannot come to us as something just where we feel that we know we have to be like that. No, that wouldn't be possible. The soul should realize this reality. It should not be a mental construct. We have read these verses, we understand these verses, we appreciate these verses, but the soul doesn't move. Knowing by itself of a reality is not becoming one with that reality. Knowing a reality is not equal to becoming one with that reality. That requires a lot of effort, and therefore the verse of the Quran, Allazina jahadu fina, those who really put all their effort in us, really put all their efforts in us. Or even where the other verse is there, which says, man arad al akhirata wasaha laha sa'yaha, he who desires the hereafter and makes an effort of the kind which is required for attaining it. It's not going to be a normal effort. Makes an effort of the kind required to acquiring it, the hereafter, their effort would be accepted with gratitude, with gratefulness. That's what God says. Man arad al akhirata wa sa'alaha sa'ayyaha wa huwa mu'min. And he was a mu'min. He was in a state of iman while doing this. Ulaika kana sa'yuhum mashkura. Their effort would be gratefully accepted. So this great effort which should be required can only happen if we are detached to the physical pull of the nafs. We are approaching the month of Ramadan. Why was this month stipulated for us? Through the verse, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala allazina min qablikum. Fasting has been ordained to you as it had been ordained to those before you. Lallakum tattaqoon. So that you may become God-weary, God-conscious. It is our being conscious of God in this world, more conscious than anything else, including ourselves, including our bodies. That should come as a result of God's command. How I should deal with my body will be the domain of God's command. God will say, do not harm yourself. There are so many verses where physical well-being of human beings is being talked about. Putting ourselves in unnecessary risk has been prohibited. Eating proper food has been encouraged. Monasticism has been considered to be an innovation. All this I'm speaking from the Quran. Marrying, having a family life, that God has created love and affection and mercy between spouses, all this is the Quran. All falls in the domain of God. All falls on the path of God. The question is, if there is God, it's there. If there is no God, it's not there. If God is there, there is mercy and great love between couples. Otherwise, it's not there. If there is God, there is commitment to partners and those with whom you trade and do business. Otherwise, there is cheating. Because you will not be able to determine the just share of his and yours. You will always feel inclined that you have done more. Because you have seen your work being done, you have not seen his work being done. And a person believing in God would be happier to lose a few pennies for the sake of being on the side of caution instead of taking more from the other one. So he would be happier not taking more and would be wary of getting somebody else's share into his. So he will leave more and take less. So when two people are there who are willing to leave more and take less, how will they fight? The fight is always on two people, or at least one of them trying to take more and the other not willing to give, or both trying to take more. So things become different altogether. And through that act, God rewards him who follows the path of God and raises himself from the level of greed and selfishness. Ramadan wants to strengthen that feeling of love of God, of taqwa, by making us fast and keeping us away during that period of fasting from food, from water, and a few more activities. It is good if we feel God during the time we are fasting. That would be fasting for God. Each second, if you feel that I am under the command of God, not taking food, not drinking water, it's God's command. So obviously God, when he commands, he doesn't sit away and command, because he is with us and in us. So his command is also within us and his command is also with us. So you feel that closeness of his command. Each command of God, whether it says aqimus salat, waatuz zakat, sumu, fast, all these come from the closest quarter of God who is within us, of God who is with us and wants to benefit us and therefore is for us. If we start getting that feeling and that centrality of God in our lives comes, whenever we are awake, that centrality should always be there. At times doing something for God and times of leisure where we can concentrate more on Him. The tasks of this world are never ending, but God can be with us, together with us, in those times when we are actively engaged in doing something in this material world which he wants us to do, which is earning our livelihoods, doing something for our families and friends, our parents. All this is God's work. And when there is time to be alone, that is the real time of pleasure for the moment. That is the pleasure for the moment. It is His beloved who is going to, above every beloved, because every love will have to leave the one he loves, and vice versa. This beloved doesn't leave us, doesn't want to leave us. We may leave him at our own peril, despite his trying everything to keep us on the right path by sending prophets after prophets, books after books, admonitions after admonitions, so that his creation, his creatures would become and understand how much he loves them and act in that same attitude of love. He has done ihsan. He has done good. And says in the Quran, Hal jazaul ihsan illa ihsan. Is the recompense or the compensation of good except what is good? So do we not feel his ihsan? He has done a lot of good to us. That we are sitting and talking about him is a great mercy of his. He has done a lot of good to us. It's our time to understand that good and pay him back. But through the process of paying back is the glory. The funny part is this. The great part is this. Though we are paying a debt back, we are being rewarded for it. God has given us everything good. Says repay, and we repay. And the repayment is being rewarded. Actually, what good I have given you? You have come back with what I have given you. It should equal up. He says, no. What good you do through me, through my guiding you. Just because you had an option to be not doing that good, I will reward you. I will reward you. This is what God is. This is what God's mercy is. Whatever good of His that comes to us in this physical world, of the food we eat, of the enjoyments we partake of, are not being asked to be compensated later on in the Akhirah, in the hereafter. No. If they have been used for God, in God, with God, they have led you to a much higher position of which we don't have any idea. We can just understand some of His mercy and multiply it by infinity. We understand some of His mercy and then multiply it by infinity. We don't know what it's going to be because we live in a limited world. But if we just come to the idea that He has limitless mercy, this mercy which He is giving us, He says, I have created you in distress. This is the mercy of distress. Inna khalaqna al-insana fi kabad. We have created mankind surely in distress. So whatever mercy is coming to us, whatever ihsan is coming to us, is His mercy as He has created us in a state of distress. The physical world is a physical world of pain, of death, of hunger, of other weaknesses which all of us have. Anger, greed, selfishness, whatever evil that can come as a result of material preponderance, material taking control of us. So this is the world of distress. And in that we see His mercy. So there is mercy, palpable mercy, which we feel in the world which we are living in. And we are thankful for it. Just imagine that when the distress is lifted and fully God's pleasure comes into play, what kind of the world and what kind of a life it would be. Unimaginable. But the soul is capable of feeling it even sitting now here. Because it started feeling God. It starts feeling to that level hereafter also. As much as you feel God, you'll feel as much of that hereafter. So the feeling of the hereafter should be actually a kind of a measure for us, all of us, that it is going to be something real. The soul has to realize it here. Faith in the akhirat is also like having faith in God, like having faith in the prophets. From our point of view, having faith in the imams, having faith in the book, and faith in the akhirat. All this are of the same nature. Once you get hold of God, you come to all of these. Inshallah, once we come back after Ramadan, I think we'll have to stop this series at this level. And inshallah, if I'm capable of it, after Ramadan, we will move to the chapter on prophethood, Nabuwa, and try to understand how Tawheed leads to Nabuwat, and then to Imamat, and then to Qiyamat. So, inshallah, after the month of Ramadan, we will all hopefully gather again, if it's possible, to talk about Nabuwat, inshallah. I request all of you to do dua for all of us and myself, that the month of Ramadan should be a month of realization for all of us, a month of feeling God more than what we have felt Him earlier, and being capable of understanding our souls in the light of the Akhirah, in the light of God's mercy on us, and act accordingly for the Akhirah in this world. And may this Ramadan be of benefit in this path for all of us, inshallah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mujahid. I think that was a very good summary of our journey up to now, and the messages that you gave in there are so important to always bear in mind. And with the month of Ramadan coming, this God consciousness, God awareness should be at the forefront of our mind. So thank you very much. That was a very good summary, alhamdulillah. Acha. No, I said that thank you very much. What very good conclusion to the rest of the lectures that you did, with some very good messages about being God conscious. And I said, we thank you, for all your effort in the last 11 sessions. And we pray to God that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you for your effort, for your time, that you've given selflessly over the last 11 sessions to all of us. And we are very grateful to you, and we pray to God to increase your knowledge, to increase your tawfiq, and to keep you healthy. And inshallah, we pray that inshallah we all have a very good Ramadan. I don't know whether, have we got time for some questions, Mujahid, or do you?
Ilahi Ameen.
As is convenient. As is convenient.
Yeah.
We add Ilahi Ameen to what Azhar has mentioned.
Thank you, inshallah.
If you have, I'm there. If you have no questions, that's fine.
There's one question. Well, it's not a question. Perhaps you can expand that a little bit more. You said that God is within us.
Yeah.
Now, is that in the sense of, I know there are verses of the Quran where God says He's very close to us, like closer than the jugular vein and so on. But when you say He is within us, is that in a sense of His attributes, in the sense of His asma? Is that what we're talking about?
In the first sermon of Nahjul Balagha, Hazrat Ali says He is with everything without being part of it. He is with everything without being part of it. That is very clear that He is not a physical. Anything physical, being part of the physical, would be along with it. So Maula says He is with everything without being part of it. That means His existence is such that everything which exists, exists within His existence. So exists within Him. And since that has come in Him, He has not got limited by that. So He also exists in it without being a part of it. it is not a kind of a set theory relationship which was basically designed for physical phenomena. But this kind of a quality, being with something and not being part of it, is his creation without being away from it. And nothing can exist but within God's creative domain, and that creative domain is not outside him. It is within him. So the physical world, though he is not physical, is a creation of his and has to fall within his domain of being. Domain of being. Lesser levels are in his domain of being, and he doesn't withdraw from those domains. Had he withdrawn, they wouldn't have existed. Or otherwise we would have said he is limited himself. He is not limited himself. Where he says, I have taken the throne, in the Quranic verse, it means I am not exerting my power in a way which our power to exert opposite to his will be stopped. Otherwise, had he not willed that he would give us power here to act against him, we wouldn't have been able to act against him. So there it is that he's withdrawing his power. Where the human will is being given the freedom to act according to its likes and dislikes. Emalu mashetum. Do whatever you want to. Innahu bima tamaluna basir. He is seeing whatever you are doing. This kind of a thing is that withdrawal of power. Otherwise his power is always there intact, and that is only representing that we have given you freedom. Otherwise, there is no kind of withdrawal for God in the sense of his being away from his creation. That's not possible. He's with us, he's in us, he's for us. And the soul, I feel, is capable of feeling it, where it empties itself from all things of this world. If the soul can detach itself, detach itself completely from this world, it will start feeling God. I'll give you an example. It's there in the Hadith as well in the verse of the Quran. Humans are a very different kind of a thing. Once they have the body to play around with, they are not conscious of God. But when they are confronted with death, they suddenly ask God to save them. And this has been a natural phenomenon for even atheists. Once you tell them that in that kind of state, where you are in a state whether you'd be living or not, did you not feel calling out to somebody? They say, yes, we felt. But we also felt our heartbeat going up, our blood pressure rising. That's wonderful. But the question here is, when you are conscious of your body and benefiting from it, you are not conscious of God. But when it comes to the saving of God, the body is going now. You are in a point. For example, the example is you are in a ship and the ship is sinking. There's no one to save you. In that state, where the body needs to be saved, you call out. So it becomes very clear that as you are engaged with the body, you don't see God. As the point comes that the body is going now and the body needs to be saved. And the body cannot save itself. The body cannot save itself. Always the body was saving itself. Right? You're keeping away from danger. But now you are not possible bodily to keep yourself away from danger. So what you are doing? You are looking back. So that is what the soul is. As much as it is engaged with the body, and this example is there in the Quran, this example has been given by Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam as well.
Allahumma salli Allahumma.
Where the ruh becomes conscious of God, where it's not concentrating on the body as the reality, and since it was able to save itself using the body in ordinary circumstances of life, once in this special condition where the body is incapable of saving itself, it is asking for help from God. So the soul, though it does not accept God in a proper manner, in a state of death accepts it. And therefore in the Quran there is a verse which says, if you are asking forgiveness in that state, I will not accept your forgiveness. Where the body is known and is going and is perishing, the human soul will see God. At that point, God says, though you are alive and asking for tawbah, I won't do it. Because now something else has become obvious to you. So this verse is there in the Quran and is also indicative of the fact that if you detach yourself in this life voluntarily, not that you are facing a situation of dying. The body anyway has to go. Right? anyway has to go. So why get it to a point that it will go and then feel God and say, oh, you are here? Because you don't encounter God the way you encounter when you go out of your house, an electrical pole or a telephonic pole, which we have here still. So you don't encounter Him. You don't run into God actually. So because you are not running into God, you are oblivious of Him. God says, I will run into you every day in, day out. But you have that ability, that sensor to detect me. Please do that. And if you can detect me, you will detect everything. You will detect the creation of the universe. You will detect the hereafter. You will detect things happening outside and here and there. And that would be your real you. And this going and fading away and passing away body is an instrument. Use it to the best of its capabilities. But remember, I am your Lord, your Savior, your Sustainer, your raising you from the dead and then giving you what you deserve despite the fact that you have not done too well. I still have provided for Shafaat for you. I still will take some Tawbah from you. But please don't come in a state of arrogance, in a state of forgetfulness, in a state of not performing your duties, which you could have to the extent you were placed in. Ittaqullaha mastata'tum, says the Quran. Do taqwa of God as much as you can. Be conscious and wary of God as much as you can. What more do we want from Him? He says, do it. The next step, I'll take you higher. And after that, the next step. And after that, the next. Whatever taqwa you can do, please do it, says the Quran. But in our arrogance, we say we have nothing to do except what we want to do in our own way. God says, do it. And then you get it, what you want to get. And what we get is blindness. We don't see our soul. And once the soul is not seen, we can't put God in the center of our efforts, in the center of our lives in this world. It is the soul which would put God in the center of our life in this world. And if we are not realizing our soul, God will never come become a part of our lives of this world as a central character, monitoring, doing, helping, and at times, God forbid, leading us astray because we have turned our backs to Him here in this world by trying to not use our soul, but trying to use the soul for the body, not vice versa. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, has anybody else got a question to ask? We've probably got another sort of 10 minutes or so. Irshad, did you have a question?
Not really. It's not a question, but it's another comment, really. Not on this particular lecture, but time and again, thinking about God. You know, like you asked Him whether He's within us, and He said, yes, He's within us, He's nearer to us, and He's all around us. Time and again, God forbid, and forgive me, like other religions, they say, you know, the sun is the God, you know, the snake is the God, the monkey is the God, you know. But to me, the nearest thing I can think of, I hope it's not shirk, well, we don't take it in that sense. The air we breathe in, you know, the complete air around us, you know, that's the nearest thing I can think of to God, Allah, is that's it. It's within us. It's, you know, you can't live without the air. It's, you know, it's closer to your jugular vein because the windpipe is nearer to the jugular vein. You know, there's so many things, but I know it's not to that extent of making a shirk. You know, I know you can't use any other worldly, you know, things or worldly, to compare it with God. But that's the nearest thing. If I was not a Muslim, I would think, you know, as you've probably seen other people, you know, explaining God, the nearest thing I can think of, the air, oxygen, you can't live without it. It's just a comment I was thinking, and I don't know if there is any counter comments from the Mawlana Mujahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Irshad bhai, you are a doctor.
Yes.
And you know.
You can't live. Yes.
Yeah. And you have seen people gasping for breath and dying.
Yes.
I have also seen it because I run a hospital.
I know that. Yeah.
How much air becomes something very, very important for sustaining our life in this world is something which we cannot say anything about. The first thing we do in an emergency, as you know, better, is to
save oxygen.
Get the airway. Right. Once that is done, then we go after the other things. So life as a process of living through inhaling and exhaling is one aspect of it. But just tell me, just if inhaling and exhaling were the process of a particular thing, what value would it have? It wouldn't have no value. This feeling of yours, the importance of breathing is basically because you are there apart from the breathing process. You understand it and appreciate it. Once the air goes in and it starts slowly reducing the hypoxia, the reduction of oxygen in the blood, and that actually leads to you recovering. So the processes keep continuing. The first process is the air getting in. But we were living in the womb of the mother without the air. The heart was beating.
Wow, mashallah, mashallah.
Things were moving forward, right? So the air came when we started to cry and then we started to breathe. Had it come a bit earlier, we would be having a pneumothorax. So with this kind of scenario which we are now faced with, I suppose this is just a point in which we can obviously thank God. We really can thank God. Specifically when in a state of stress where we get breathless. And I mean, there are so many kind of conditions which are even psychological in nature. Though the air is there, you are unable to breathe. Because there is some contraction taking place somewhere. Please guide me if I'm going wrong. So at times you have the air, but you can't breathe because of the physiological factors which have acted, as a result of psychological factors which have acted. So we have seen people who are in a very bad psychological state, incapable of breathing properly. So we'll take this as one stand, as a one point, but I can tell you there are a billion rahmat of God which get added to all this to make breathing itself a sensible activity and a value activity. The importance of blood, the importance of organs, the importance of the mind, the importance of the whole physical structure, and then a soul into it, which is capable of guiding them into the processes for which it has been designed by God. So, when I speak of the soul, what actually has happened is, we have been trained in a manner through our schooling and through our growing up, that we are this real physical self. We are this real physical self. We aren't. What religion wants to put now is, please think a bit more. Please go into it a bit deeper. You will say that, no, this is not me, because this is keeping on changing. Cells are dying, cells are coming to life, there is autoptosis and there is necrosis, whatever you call it. And then cells keep dying. And new cells keep coming in. So with that kind of a scenario, the physical world is a replenishable world. It is being replenished every second, every second. What really is mine is what I feel I am as a reality, which is beyond me. Even when I sleep, for take an example, I'm not conscious of my physical self, but still I am conscious of the fact that there is a whole process of deep sleep and then dreaming. This is a state altogether different from our active physical feeling of ourselves. So we have a less than physical state in the form of sleep. We are ignorant of our physical body and we get into the world of the mind, and the soul starts extracting images from it, which are the most obvious and the most moving, and therefore the processes of dreaming start. Strange thing in itself, but there is an active, the dead people don't dream. The dead body doesn't dream. A body in sleep, which is physically inactive, is dreaming. So there is one world of the psychological kind where the studies on this are also there. And there is a world beyond that also. That is the state of deep sleep, where God says we take the ruh away from the body and give it back again. This is the verse of the Quran. So we need to go into that as well, where we are capable of being moved out of the body and being given back life again. And some, God says, are not given back, and we take their lives while they are asleep. So the question again is, are we capable of going to those higher realities or not? I think if we start from one point, we will take the next step. as we started from breathing and we got, went to the other physical functions which give importance to breathing. Otherwise, it wouldn't be any worth at all. Breathing would be like filling a balloon. Is our breathing just filling a balloon? No. It starts off a process which goes on to our keeping ourselves well and kicking and then utilizing our strength and energy into some good or bad deed. So, I feel that we need to start this life of taqwa also, the life of the soul as well. And this life needs to be closely monitored in our states of sleep, in our deep thinking when we are here. And then when we start making changes in our lives, we see that things which would attract us are not attracting us. Things which were not attracting us are attracting us. Earlier, when we were a physical body, our hunger was the hunger we felt from the day we were born. Till today, our hunger is felt by each of us every day, at least twice a day, if not thrice or four times, at least twice a day. But now, what part of us will recognize the hunger of a child living in poverty with parents incapable of feeding him or her? Which part of us would realize that hunger and which part of us will move? I am speaking of that part. I am saying that part is the soul. That part which would bring Hazrat Ali to tears and would make him pull his hand back from what food he had, ordinary food he had in front of him, telling maybe somebody in Yamama or somebody in Hijaz might have not had enough food and has gone to sleep in a state of hunger. Ali doesn't want to pick up as a Khalifa that ordinary bread, just an ordinary bread to put in his mouth too, and he's feeling his hunger. He's hungry. But to him, the hunger of others is becoming more than the hunger of himself. This is the person who has to become the Imam, who feels the hunger of the others unrelated to him, unknown to him. We see poverty and hunger all around us, ignorance all around us. What is it that is not moving us in the right direction or making us coming together as people who are feeling something about it? The only thing is that we have not developed the antennae, the soul, to feel that hunger. Take disease also. We do feel our disease. Something goes wrong with us, a bit of niggle here and a bit of niggle there. We want to get it treated. They are treatable diseases for which people are dying. Within the domain of our own activity, can't we think of doing it? We want to do it for the whole world. It doesn't happen. Why not do it for someone we can, who we have resources for doing? And therefore, within that small domain of ours, we would be able to create a world of goodness. A small, small microcosm of the soul playing out in this world. The Jannat of the soul which is able to create the Jannat, which I spoke in the lecture, in this world. It might be an imperfect Jannat. God will perfect it there. Because in imperfect conditions, you created an imperfect Jannat. So you become the person who owns the Jannat. Yarisunal Firdaus, says the Quran. They will become the inheritors of Firdaus. And the criterion is Tilkad Darul Akhirah, the day that hereafter, the home, the place of the hereafter is for them who do not desire in this world yuriduna uluwan, ascendancy and dissension and fasad. These two conditions are there. You need not want ascendancy in this world. You shouldn't be trying to create fasad in this world. For them is the abode of the hereafter. Hopefully Allah would accept us with the masumeen, with the aima on the day of judgment when we go to him with very little which we have with us, but still something good would be better than nothing good. Inshallah.
Ilahi Ameen.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.